You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning, or rather, good night. 9:04 p.m. as we record this, Franz Wagner has been drafted. We are going to talk about that in the next podcast. Zuri is very excited if you heard her jump up on the bed. Because you're coming from live from my bedroom, per usual. Anyhow, Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we have to get to the mailbag. So we're doing the Thursday night before we do the Wednesday. As I said on Twitter, Andy Staples asked if we could push to Friday. So we will have him on Friday. I'm still battling with some of my health things. So that was, that's why yesterday I just needed the day off. I took it off from everything. So we did it. Anyhow, let's get into the actual mailbag. Starting with our leaders and best, because we have a ton here. James Crudup at James Crudup 6. On a confidence scale of 1 to 10, rate each coach on staff, 10 being the utmost confidence in someone who is in line for an eventual promotion, 1 being for a search for his replacement should begin immediately. Well, I'll say that no one's a 1, but I think that that should be given. So let's start with offense. Start with Josh Gattis. I'm going to give him a 5 right now because I think that we've seen a lot of people will say, and I know I saw a question earlier that's going to be in segment 3 that maligns Gattis and whatever. I think we've seen like elements of speed and space. We've seen elements of the scheming. I think like it's all right there, and it's actually kind of brilliant. The problem is it just hasn't – there's been some execution issues. You had Shea Patterson, who was injured for a good chunk, if not half, of 2019, and then things started coming on. Execution issues really, I feel, hurt Michigan on the offensive front in 2019. Ultimately, even though I think the offensive line played pretty well for the most part, I think that's when things started falling apart was all the injuries and things up front, and then I think that got to Joe Milton and all of that. As far as confidence was concerned, I'd been told that confidence was an issue as the season kind of wore on. So I think it's kind of an incomplete, but Gattis is kind of in a put up or shut up year. So I'm going to give him a 5. Let's go to Sharon Moore, who I'm also going to give a 5 at the offensive line because we haven't seen it. So I'm just kind of dead in the middle there. Like they rave about him as a coach. Andrew Stuber raved about him on Saturday. Eventually I'll have an article up about that. But I don't think that there's, I think it's an incomplete. Mike Hart, I'm going to give him an 8. I have very, very high confidence based off of what he was able to do at previous stops, but I'd want to see it happen at Michigan, right? And a lot of his job is also concerning the offensive line in the sense that running backs can't do much if the offensive line can't open up holes. So we might not necessarily have the best beat on that. Jay Harbaugh, as a tight end coach, I probably would have given him a 5 running backs coach. Wow. Real, real big blank there. I'm going to give him a 10 as a tight ends coach. I mean, he produced a Mackey Award winner in Jake Butt. So I think that that speaks for itself. The tight ends room under him was formidable. So I think that it will be good as well. Am I missing anyone on the offensive side? Matt Weiss. I'm going to give Matt Weiss actually, even though we haven't seen him, but based off of his tenure with the Baltimore Ravens, I'm going to give him a flat-out 10. Utmost confidence. I think, he's been a quarterback's coach before, helped the run game come along. I think the dude's a stud. I think that was a steal. So I'm going to go ahead and give him that. Going to the defensive side of the ball, Sean Newell gets a 5. Same deal as Gattis. It's kind of put up or shut up. We've seen flashes, but we haven't seen it all kind of come to fruition on the defensive line.
George Hilo gets a 5 as an incomplete. I don't know what to expect with him. Ron Bellamy gets an 8 based off of the fact that we know the dude can coach. We have to see it in the college level. But, I mean, he won a national, not a national, a state championship with West Bloomfield, which was not a team that was in that type of running when he took over. So he knows how to build a team and knows how to get the most out of his guys. Steve Klinkscale, I give a 10. He's got an incredible track record at Kentucky. He had a great track record at Cincinnati. I mean, guy's a stud. Mike McDonald, even though it's a believer when I see it, I had a conversation with someone outside of Michigan who has been studying Mike McDonald, who has had conversations with him, and he was just like so impressed by him. I'm going to give him a 7. So there you go. Jim Harbaugh, I'm actually going to give him a 7. I still have confidence that he can get things done. But that said, he's in 5 territory in the sense that it's put up or shut up time for him, right? I don't think this year is necessarily going to be like, hey, you don't beat Ohio State, you don't reach the mountaintop, you're out. But I think that time is dwindling. Josh Barrett, Jadicki, over-under predictions for each season leader totals. Also, your guess as to the players most likely to come closest to each. Receiving yards, 850 yards. I'm going to go under because I think that's a really hard number to hit for a receiver. And I think that they have a lot of guys they're going to use. There's going to be a lot of guys touching the ball. Rushing, 950 yards. I'm going to go over. I think they're going to get a 1,000-yard rusher, whether it's Hassan. I mean, any of the three. I mean, really probably either Hassan or Blake Corum, but my money's on Hassan. Passing, 3,400 yards. I'm going to go under because that would be breaking the record by a good 869 yards. Or a little bit more than that, but 669 yards. But nonetheless, I think it would be, I think that would be great, but I keep on predicting they're going to break the record and they don't do it. And I think they're going to be more run heavy than pass heavy this year. Sacks, 9.5. I'm going to go over. I mean, I predicted Aiden Hutchinson will get there on his own, which is a lofty goal. Interceptions, 4.5. I'm going to go over. Because I think Daxton Hill and Brad Hawkins will really come on. And I think Jamon Green is just kind of, I think that he's being highly underestimated. Touchdowns from a quarterback, 22. I don't know because I didn't look. So we're looking at a little under 2 a game. Of course, there might be games where they have none. There might be games where they have 3 or 4. I'll go over. Yeah, I'm going to go over. Touchdowns non-quarterback, 9. I'll also go over. Because, listen, Ronnie Bell has the same stats as Chris Olave except for the touchdowns. So, there you go. Touchdown special teams, 2.5. I'm going to go under. They don't have Giles Jackson. They have plenty of other guys, but if it was Giles Jackson, I'd say over, but they don't have him anymore. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf, at MWolf21. Assuming Cade stays QB1 and Michigan has a big lead in the second half, who finishes the game, JJ or Bowman? Way too early to tell, my man, because we haven't even hit fall camp. So, I mean, I think it would probably go Bowman, then JJ. That would be my guess. Alan Bowman didn't transfer in to just not play. You know what I mean? But, I think it would be very similar to kind of like what we saw in 2016, if that's the case. You know, John O'Korn comes off the bench. Then it wasn't Brandon Peters right off the bench in 2016. We didn't really see him until 2017. Shane Morris, right. So I think it would probably go that order if I was to guess. Credentialed writer for Wolverine's Wire. That's right. Trent Noop went from just being part of the Leaders and Best to being a credentialed writer. He will be at every home game for Michigan this year covering the team with me. So congratulations to him. Give him a follow. But that goes to show you never know what's going to happen. He went from just being constant question asker to now being a credentialed writer covering the team. Top 3 storylines you're looking at going into fall camp. Obviously number 1 is a quarterback, the quarterback battle. That's I think the biggest thing. I mean, it's probably mostly position battles, but number 2, how close the defense is to being full strength, being able to go out there and execute the whole playbook. how multiple is it really going to be, all of that kind of stuff. Number three, probably staying on the defensive end, even though Joel Klatt has utmost confidence in the front seven, I have more confidence in it. I'm kind of looking at the back seven. Well, I guess it's back eight in this case. How is that back eight gonna do? Really, I'm talking about two in the middle, so it's really back six. How much has Josh Ross overcome some of the issues from last year? Same with Michael Barrett. And, there's just a bunch of different elements there. I feel really good about safeties. I feel really good about Jamon Green, but, does he build on what he had? And how does that cornerback battle on the other side of him shape out? Finishing us off in segment one, Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. How many of Michigan's games will be played at night this year? Obviously, we know of one. I would imagine at least another. I would bet Penn State would be a night game. Wouldn't be surprised if there's a third one. There was a couple years ago. I mean, even like last year, they had two out of six games, right? Three. They had three out of six games. Half of their games were at night. Rutgers, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Ugh, terrible for someone like me who has to. It's fun for the fans. Not great for the sports writer. So I'll say at least three. Yeah, at least three. How many quarterbacks will throw multiple touchdowns this year for Michigan? I'm going to go with two. I think the main starter will. And then if you're talking overall for the entire year, I think you'll see all three. So I think they'll all get time. I think there will be games that they are looking a little bit more 2016-ish, but I don't think it's going to, like, again, I'm predicting 8-4. I'm staying with that. But I think that everyone will get a shot. So that's my guess. All right, we've got to move on. We've got so many left. This is insane how many questions we have. But before we do, rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals as well as for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked down in there. How did you hear about us, Spock? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, let's continue with the Victor's Valiant. Got some people that moved up a tier from segment three to segment two. We'll start that off with Kyle Partalter Nation Mark at iKyleBy. How does McDonald's new defensive schemes differ from past defenses, and will it be a big change for the players to adjust to? Oh, yeah, it's a big, big change for players to adjust to. Huge. It's going to be, number one, they essentially ran a 4-3 under Don Brown. This is essentially, now they're going to have multiple fronts, lots of different looks. They're going to be a 3-4 base, I would assume, based off of the fact that they're talking about these outside linebackers being defensive ends, having three down linemen up front. They're going to switch it up, assuredly, just like Don Brown switched it up sometimes to a 3-3-5 stack. He had different looks occasionally, but most of the time we saw one, like basically we saw the 4-3 most of the time. I think this one will be very blitz heavy as well, but these guys are going to be coming from different places. They're going to be moving around the players, especially these outside linebacker types, your defensive ends, formerly, around a lot. It's a big adjustment, but they love it from everything that I've heard. Like, they absolutely love just kind of everything that this is. But it's going to be a vast departure. This is a complete overhaul of the defense. It is going to be significantly less predictable, and it's going to have a lot more going on to it. And honestly, because they are learning kind of a bunch of different schemes, they're not just married to man coverage. It's going to have a lot more zone as well. This is going to be not only good for the defense once everything is clicking and firing on all cylinders, it's good for the offense for the sake of now. It's a little bit different once you're over with fall camp because you're going up against the scout team generally. Yeah, sometimes you do good on good, but people always forget that. Like people ask, you know, does the offense look great in practice because they're going up against our crappy defense? It's not usually what happens, right? Like it's usually in the season, they're going up against the scout team who is mimicking the defense that they saw, you know, saw. That goes for every team in college football. Anyway, so it's a big departure. We'll know more as time goes, but I don't think we'll get a full on thing. Like we'll even sometimes like, cause I saw some things, some of the things will look very similar, but trust me, they are different. Like looking at some of the things from the spring game and everything, it's similar but different. KRT at Farmer 84. Do you think there will be any noticeable differences in offensive play calling with Matt Weiss, Mike Hart, and Sharon Moore providing input? Based off of just what Harbaugh has talked about, like this like collaborative effort, I think there might be. And, you know, Gattis really touts his time in Alabama of having input and having a lot of parts of the game plan and things of that nature in collaboration with Mike Locksley. But I do think that, yes, there will be. I don't know how noticeable. I think that, honestly, if they just executed and they just didn't a lot of times, especially like game two forward, but, I mean, game one was so masterful against Minnesota. That's what the offense is supposed to look like. But, yeah, I think at least in game, there might be they might be a little bit better at adjusting. Continuing, I'm interested to see if Weiss has an impact on the rushing attack in light of his experience with the Ravens. You hope so. I mean, I hope so. And I think the fact that Harbaugh keeps on mentioning Dan Villari as being in that Taysom Hill type role, I mean, that kind of fits into Matt Weiss's wheelhouse a little bit. But, I mean, I think they'd be fools if that wasn't a collaborative effort in that sense. But at the same time, you hope that it's still Gattis's offense. Because what was the complaint before Gattis came? Too much collaboration. Not one person having the keys to the to the car. Multiple people trying to drive it at the same time. It's funny how these things, everyone begs for one thing and another thing happens. And Zuri is creeping up here. I don't know what she's doing. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. Sorry I missed last week. Was on vacation. Well, you're fired. That's why you're demoted to third. No, I'm kidding. Is it because I follow them the closest, or does every team have annoying fans as Michigan? I'd say a lot of them do, but in different ways. I don't think the self-hatred seems to me like that is a very specific Michigan thing. Granted, Michigan fans have been waiting a long time. It's been 23 years since the national championship. It's been the Ohio State stuff is a big deal, but like, I don't think that any fan base that I've kind of been around is as self-hating as Michigan fans. But I think it's the loudest people are the fringe for the most part. But listen, I've heard bad things. Like I remember being down in the Horseshoe in 2016 and hearing just awful things shouted at JT Barrett. And he couldn't help it that his offensive line couldn't protect him, but they were just awful. So, I mean, that's not unique, but for all of the, I remember back when I was a fan and reading MGo blog in like 2010 and 2011 and stuff like that, all of the self-congratulation, which made me feel really good as a Michigan alum, like we have the best fans in the world, and I totally believed that. And, certainly look at the Ronnie Bell situation after Penn State and some other things, but there's good and bad, because there was the bad initially and then the good with the response to the bad. Continuing here, I should clarify the constant negative attitude on the team that isn't bad. You would think they'd go 3-9 every year. That's the thing, is people act like Jim Harbaugh's done a terrible job, but I think part of that is driven by the national media as well. You know what I mean? He's got the third best winning percentage of any of the coaches in the Big Ten, and you'd think that He's down in the bottom tier. It's funny how that works. He's only behind Ryan Day and Paul Christ. Zach Woodruff, at Zach Woodruff 3, who supplies the barbecue for the barbecue at the Big House? I have no idea, but I do know that it's not necessarily always like actual barbecue. It's not like they're not just necessarily getting a bunch of brisket. But like sometimes I know it's just been different cuisines, but I'm sure it changes on a yearly basis, so I couldn't tell you. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore, which is more crucial to Michigan's success this year? One, our quarterback breaks the passing yardage record, or one of our running backs has a 1,000-yard season? I'm going to go with the latter because I think that that means Michigan's probably controlling the games a lot more. Granted, 2017 saw Caron Higdon just shy, 6 yards shy of hitting that 1,000-yard mark, and that wasn't a good season. But, hey, if Michigan's able to run the ball with regularity, that's a very good sign. It takes a lot of pressure off of whoever the quarterback is. Conversely, if they're able to break the passing yardage but can't run the ball worth a lick, or you could find yourself in a situation where they're behind constantly and are like vintage Detroit Lions early Matt Stafford years where, you know, they're having to try to make comebacks all the time. Might be great if they're able to complete those, but I think the success always kind of hinges on being able to run the ball. Ohio State, Alabama, those are teams that always run the ball. Clemson, always. Ryan at IM3LAC. What is one narrative that fans continue to bring up about the football team that is undoubtedly false? That Harbaugh doesn't change, that he's stodgy, that he's taken over the offense again. All that. Harbaugh change has had way more change. This is something that it's front of mind because John Jansen, I heard him on a replay of Full Ride on my way back from Indianapolis. And he was talking about how, like, Mark D'Antonio didn't change, right? Like, he kept all of his buddies around. None of Harbaugh's buddies, save for his son, are still on the staff. The staff is completely different. And it's been completely different, constantly different. But now, Jay Harbaugh is the only OG member of the staff. The only other one was Mike Zordich. Otherwise, there's just been an insane amount of turnover as far as the staff is concerned. Harbaugh is constantly changing, constantly evolving, constantly trying to find different ways to win. Bringing in Josh Gattis was a huge admission of, all right, I need to take a step back. And when people said, oh, he took back over the offense, I know for a fact, against Army, that game, he did not. So there you go. Brandon at Brandon S. 616, more likely to happen, and why defense finishes top 25 or offense finishes top 10? Defense finishes top 25. I mean, they're only a year removed from being 11th in 2019 and top four for the rest of the Harbaugh tenure. They only had 1 year finishing outside of the top 25 since the Brady Hoke era started in 2011. So these guys have been around it, you know, pretty much all of them save for like transfers and freshmen. So offense finishing top 10 means it's prolific. You're going to have to, like, all those records would be broken, right? Passing record would be broken. The 1,000-yard rusher, that'll happen. Maybe two in that case. And I think that that's a really difficult benchmark to hit right now, especially considering offense wasn't good at all last year. Continuing, do you think Michigan moved on from Rich Rod too soon? I watched a video with Devin Gardner talking, and it seemed like the players thought they were a year or two away from hitting stride. Here's why I don't. I know people say, well, if he had a defense, whatever. It was just a bad marriage. People that were prominent in Michigan were determined to see him fail. There was just this, Michigan was fractured. I know winning cures all, but I think that even if they were winning, there was just this feeling that he was an outsider and they wanted a change. And I think people thought Jim Harbaugh was going to come in 2011. Didn't work out that way. So, no. I don't, because I think that you needed at least some kind of healing as far as that's concerned. And listen, you can't get throttled regardless. The way that Michigan was getting throttled against Ohio State in those years, I mean, we're not talking 56-27 or 62-39. We were talking like, and I don't remember the scores, but we were talking like 52-14. You know what I mean? Completely different. completely inept. Can't do it 3 years in a row. And I'll say that even for Jim Harbaugh. Can't do that 3 years in a row. Finishing us out in segment two, Marley and Mike's Powder at the underscore Mike B underscore show. Always with a new name. You heard it here first, Cade Mack over C.J. Stroud. Interesting. Might not be C.J. Stroud, though, if Quinn Ewers is going in. Maybe they start him right away. They still got Kyle McCord, Jack Miller. There is a lot going on in Columbus. That is for sure. All right. We have to move on. We have so many questions left, but we're going to our essentially our lightning round with that. So let's get to that right now. BetOnline.ag, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over. NHL might be over. NBA draft is going on as we speak. Major League Baseball, that's in full swing. But guess what? Football's coming back. We're like a month out. Less than a month when it comes to week zero, I believe. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head over to BetOnline.ag to sign up today. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's finish this out. Got plenty left. Like 10 plus questions here. Fun one to begin. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, but BW at BW2623, top five favorite movies and actors and actresses. Well, number one, I do have a film degree, which was one of my favorite things when I had like a film opinion on Twitter and someone said, stick to sports. It's like, actually, yeah, I worked in Hollywood for 4 years. Like, actually, I don't know if I can name top five straight away, but I will say my favorite movie of all time, easily, hands down, is Ocean's 11. Second favorite movie, probably pretty close up there, is Out of Sight. Two Steven Soderbergh movies. I think they are awesome. I think Knives Out is probably up there with for me. I like a lot of newer movies. It's hard for me to really like the old ones. I really, although if I was to pick an old one, this isn't one of my favorite movies. I loved It Happened One Night. And I remember my critic was, that was my road movies teacher, but it was still, I mean, he was my teacher also for critical film theory and contemporary film theory. But he was like, you really like those movies, the leading men, which that doesn't sound, that's an interesting comment. But I do like a strong leading man actor. I like a hero. I like someone to aspire to be. I really like Ready Player One. I don't know if that's one of my favorites, but necessarily I don't. Here's my credo with movies, though. I'm not looking for the auteur to come in and really kind of like wow me. Granted, I've been watching Tarantino movies lately because I just saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the first time earlier today when I was working. I started watching Hateful Eight for the first time. I'm not always through it. Not all the way through it yet. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's pretty good. Really good. Tarantino's interesting, but I don't think he's necessarily, I'm not going to say he's not upper tier because he is, but I think he has a formula and I see the formula and I don't have time to discuss it. And it just is, he's kind of doing the same thing over and over again in my eyes. So top two favorite movies for sure are those first two that I mentioned. I'll add that Knives Out's in there somewhere. Jurassic Park's probably in there. We'll throw a Star Wars in there. I'm going to say The Last Jedi, as much as people hate it, because I think it's a perfect film. I think it is absolutely perfect. As far as actors and actresses, probably mostly actors. Brad Pitt and George Clooney are like my heroes. I absolutely think they are incredible. I think I'm going to end it at that. And I'm just going to give a shout out to some of my favorite people that I worked with and say, Bryan Cranston, Rashida Jones are national treasures. And I'm going to throw Jimmy Smits in there because I had a conversation with him recently and I think he is just a delight. I know I'm name dropping, but whatever. I don't care. Ray Crescent Moon at underscore Ray Lewis. How long do you think it'll take Michigan basketball and football to win a natty? I think basketball is ready to go. I think basketball could do it any time starting this year. Football, depending on how this quickly these guys can acclimate into the transition and if they can kind of shore up the recruiting aspect, get a couple more five stars, a couple more blue chip type guys. Football's probably 3 years away. Maybe two, but probably not because Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson are otherworldly right now. But I think in 2016, Michigan had what it took. That's what I'm thinking. I think in 2015, they had a build-up year, and then they returned a lot of that, pretty much that whole group, and then they went out and killed it. And I think it's kind of going to be, could have that similar effect. Greg at Greg's Korean Barbecue. In the future, are you only allowed a full beard or full head of hair? Which do you choose? Full head of hair, because I don't have a full beard right now. I hate to break it to you. I accidentally cut off part of my beard the other night, and I forgot to put the guard on, went to trim, and took a giant chuck, so I currently only have a Van Dyke. I can live, as much as I hate it, not having a full beard. I like the fact that I have a full head of hair. So, that's that. Not Jake, at MLive commenter. Will Harbaugh ever beat Ohio State? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, man. Ohio State is otherworldly. Won't believe it till I see it. That's the only one that I have. I won't believe it till I see it. Mikey T at AA Mikey GT. Any backstory on why Devontae Miles decommitted? No, but I did not think he was going to finish as a part of this class. From the point where I had a conversation with him in January, I don't remember the specifics, but I remember texting someone close to Michigan and being like, yeah, I don't know about this dude. I think I asked him, like, why did you commit to Michigan? And he's like, because I could. It was like something like that. Like I wanted to save my spot. But I'm going to still keep looking type thing. I don't know. I didn't think it was going to last. Block part alteration mark. Again, when I say like alteration mark, these are crescent moon. These are emojis that don't translate into Microsoft Word. At Bleed Michigan, predictions for Michigan starting five. My prediction is the Coastal Carolina transfer. I'm getting, is it Cavante or Devontae? See, I'm confused because Devontae Miles and Michigan's also got Cavante, whatever. So you know what I'm saying. Him as the point guard, Eli Brooks as the two. Or I have my numbers mixed up. You know what I mean. So Eli Brooks. I'm gonna go with Caleb Houston in there, Brandon Johns, and Hunter Dickinson. Pretty sure that's what it's gonna be. Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. There are 9 official Built Bar flavors. Please match each one with the appropriate football position group. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, defensive back, and special teams. Oh, man. Oh, I don't know. I mean, Peanut Butter Brownie is the quarterback. That's the lead guy. That's the most important guy in the entire team. And I think the most important position on defense is linebacker. So I'm going to give that one Coconut Brownie Chunk. Want a little bit of flash, a little panache? I think you go with Strawberry. That's a off. That, just like Coconut Brownie Chunk, that's not one that's always every. It's a special flavor. Cookies and Cream, I'm giving running back. That's a good solid background. Tight end, I'm going to just give it to straight up. There's a chocolate chip cookie dough, I believe. I'm trying to remember. I just get a box of what I like generally and kind of go with it. I'm trying to remember some of those special flavors they sent that have been awesome. Offensive line, let's just go straight. Let's go chocolate mint, you know? It's because it's bass, but it's still, it's got a little kick to it, you know, a little bit of something different. I'm going to go with, for the defensive line, one of my other favorites, which was the Toffee Almond. Defensive back, you got to have something a little bit flashier. And I'm going to go also with the other one, the Coconut Almond, which is like the Almond Joy. Which, you know, I used to talk about forever. Special teams, I'm going to go with the birthday cake. You never know what you're going to get. Okay, that was hard, but fun. Anonymous hashtag D4L. At What a Dingus, which I love that name. How could Gattis survive, and this is the one I referenced earlier, survive with all the coaching turnover this year? Couldn't scheme up plays with DPJ, Collins, and Black. Obviously, last year wasn't good either. Listen, he did well with a lot of those guys. You can't force guys to execute and work hard all the time. That's all I got to say. You can see, if you're looking for it, the positive in what he's doing. Play calling was bad last year, but the scheme is legit. It was good at the latter half of 2019. That's all I got there. Part alteration mark, Arkiniak, I don't know what. It's at Where Did Kemp Go? Isaiah, I haven't heard much buzz about Julius Welschoff lately. Welschoff lately. What do you think his level of contribution and ceiling are for this year? Excited to see him unleashed. Actually, I think it's interesting that we haven't heard about him. I'm pretty sure I saw him riding around on one of the scooter things the other day. While I was walking Zuri. I know he's a behemoth. It is interesting that we haven't heard his name as much, especially because he got a lot of time. I think it's just there when even when you have an hour with Jim Harbaugh, you're going to hear a lot about like the top guys. He might have been passed by Mazi Smith, but Mazi Smith is just otherworldly, I think. Has that potential to be. So I wouldn't think too much of it. We don't hear his name in fall camp. That's something else. Finishing us out, Unrefined Pirate American Football Basketball Musical Score at 20 Roar. Three questions from that entity. What are you hearing about the D-line? I mean, we've covered that pretty strongly. but I would guess our starters there, if I had to guess, are going to be Hinton, Mazi, and Jeter. Jordan Whitley is behind. I know you have that question there. We'll get to him. Well, number two, will the grad transfer to Oregon State and Mazi Smith have a significant impact? I think Whitley is going to need to do some work. Mazi Smith should have a significant impact. Jess Spate is right there in the mix as well. He's definitely going to be a guy that gets a lot of time up front. And, but yeah, I'm hearing good things about the D-line, but it's not fall camp yet, man. So we got a little bit of ways. Number three, last question. Assuming the defensive backs are moving from almost exclusively man-to-man to more multiple looks, will it be a difficult transition? For some, probably more than others, but you figure these guys probably played more zone in high school than they did man. So I think it won't necessarily be. And I think that's why you have a battle at the other spot opposite Jamon Green. But I think it's more of a difficult thing when you have other guys dropping down into coverage. Not just your linebackers. Well, actually, yeah, just your linebackers. But Aiden Hutchinson talked about at Big Ten Media Days having to drop down into coverage. Because guess what? That's part of zone. I think it's going to be more of the non-defensive backs that's going to issue. Because that wasn't the issue last year. It wasn't them playing zone that was an issue, the corners. It was the more of the linebackers struggling with it. So that'll do it for this particular podcast, almost at 40 minutes, way over. I will have a shorter one, probably 21-minute variety, coming up. Also tonight, going to take a quick break, and then that'll be up. But anyway, thank you for listening. Check that out. Again, Friday, we'll have Andy Staples on at some point, hopefully, if everything goes to plan. Peace.